Verse number 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, thank you, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. I pray that tonight you would help us to focus in on some truth in your word that will help us and help us to be aware of the shortcuts in life, where sometimes they seem to be beneficial and we go for them, but then sometimes they're very detrimental. So, Lord, I pray that you help us focus our minds and our hearts and our spirits on the shortcuts that are around in not just the area of wealth building, but, Lord, in life building, in character building. Lord, help us to see the danger of shortcuts. We ask this, Lord, that you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Let's add a couple of verses to that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. Proverbs 28, 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Look in that same chapter, back a couple of verses, verse number 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You see that theme again, maketh haste to be rich. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich. Now there's a warning given there. These verses can properly be applied to get rich quick schemes. You know what I'm talking about. How many have been approached by someone, a friend or whatever, and here's this thing, it's surefire, no problem. All you have to do is get into this, and for sure, you know, this money's going to be changed, or this company's going to blow up, or this whatever is going to happen, or some kind of a certain opportunity that comes along. That if you get into this, no work, no problem. Not just the ones that are on. And you know, many times examples are given like of Microsoft, you know, when it was in the garage. You know, if I would have known them guys when they were in the garage, I would have gladly loaned them some money. But we don't have the privilege of hindsight, do we? Or foresight. We have hindsight, but no foresight. But hindsight is 20/20. So, but sometimes, you know, there's some things will happen and you didn't know it was going to go that way, and as you know, it's exploded, whatever, the stocks, the value of some company. Well, we don't know that. But those things are always presented like, hey, this is, and here, this situation or this job opportunity or this whatever, and you can make it and make it big quick. Isn't that what we're talking about here? The three verses, Proverbs 20:21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily. You know, this is some kind of a windfall, some kind of a somebody dies or somebody leaves you some, and all of a sudden you can get some kind of an advancement hastily at the beginning. And this is not talking about just something falling to you, but this is talking about manipulating to get something hastily, you know. There's a problem in the acquirement of this inheritance. You can go for something to try to get, you know, strike it rich at the beginning, and it's fine, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Proverbs 28:22, he that hasteth to be rich, you know, get rich quick. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. The pertinent and common aspect in all of these verses is this kind of wealth is it's the short duration of effort that's involved in getting rich quick. Yeah, it takes some labor, it takes some investment or whatever, but quickly. hastily. The labor, the work, acquiring it. The word that's used over and over in these verses is haste or hasty, quickly, of a short duration, in no time. In no time, this is gonna flourish and boom, you'll get it, you'll have it. Whereas the proper perspective of wealth building is associated with quite a different duration for the accumulation of it. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let's take a look at some verses and some principles in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. This is your nest egg. This is your inheritance. This is your wealth. This is your bank account. This is your bottom line asset of who you are, what you are, what you have. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Now, that means you can get wealth by vanity. You can get rich by vice, you know, by gambling, by shorting somebody, by stealing. And that's what stealing is, isn't it? You know, here somebody wants something, and they don't want to work for it. They don't want to labor for it. They don't want to, you know, earn and build up wealth. But they see wealth that they can get. Nowadays, it's almost things can be done in a digital world, a technical digital world, where there are crooks that you don't even know are crooks, because they're not robbing banks, they're, you know, stealing identity. It is so aggravating to have people that's their job, that's what they do. They steal identity. They're shysters, they're liars, they're thieves. They're thieves in that way. What was it? Just the other day, I was, I'm being, what is that when the IRS, audited, I'm being audited. How did you know I was being audited? Anyway, I'm being audited, and I'm, you know, it's very disturbing, you know, when, you know, somebody like in a church like this where we give or we tithe and maybe give the missions or whatever, that could be quite a bit of your income going to charitable, you know, giving. And so it flags the IRS. Well, you know, I've been audited before and just, you know, submitted what they want and whatever. And so anyway, and so this time they're saying, let's get your, you know, giving records. Thank God for a good treasurer that provides that kind of stuff and signed, you know, so he goes to jail if I, no. But anyway, thank the Lord that you can have, you know. And my wife, oh boy, you know, like on the Dave Ramsey, you know, one's the free spirit, woo-hoo-hoo, man, yeah, and one's the nerd, you know, that, hey, the checkbook, are you kidding? We can't move on. You know, well, I'm the free spirit, so anyway. But, oh, when you get audited, thank God for the nerd, you know, that's got the receipts. You know, get audited. And this wasn't for this year, it's for 2 years ago. And I'm going, oh, what am I going to do? And my wife says, God, don't worry about it, honey. Gets this whole shoebox of receipts, of medical things, of everything we spent. It's all there, you know. All of it, you know. And it's like, thank the Lord for that. So I was able to, you know, do this. And it's very disturbing. I mean, it's very disturbing when somebody says, I don't know if you're honest. I think you're trying to steal, you're trying to cheat the government. And so I'm on alert, okay? I'm on alert. And I get this phone call from somebody who says, they're from the IRS, and we are going to do this and this, and so for threat of jail time, da-da-da-da-da, and this is the beginning of this conversation. I go, what? You know, come again, you know, and I got disconnected or something. I can't remember what happened there. I had to call him back, and I'm upset by now. I'm going, what is going on here? We gave him all the, you know, and so I call back, and it was a scam. You see, because those who are audited, that's public knowledge or something. You know, anybody could get that, and they can find out who is being audited, and they take advantage. I'm getting in the flesh right now. I don't want to preach. I want to choke somebody's neck. You know, I'm serious. when I found out, and he said, wait a minute, you are in click. You know, it's awful, you know, because they're taking advantage of me, you know, in my weakness. Anyway, there are people like that all the time that are thieves because they don't want to work for wealth. They want to get wealth quick. Now, you know, you see something laying here, you take it. That's what a thief is. But so many times, the person that is involved with this get-rich-quick thing is got the same kind of a mentality. And so what does God say about accumulation of wealth? That verse, Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Now this is, by the way, this is what you call poetic justice. You know, what is poetic justice? You could say it's God justice. It's divine justice. You know what poetic justice is? When somebody might get away with, you know, their crime, and then they get blasted. And you know, if you ever see a movie like that or read a book like that or whatever, you say, yes, they got it. It's poetic justice. So actually, it's divine justice. It should happen that way, you know. So wealth gotten by vanity, whichever way this is, unscrupulous, dishonest, by thievery, by playing upon somebody's fears or whatever, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. This is, in the whole scope of things, God makes sure to take care of righteousness. Thank the Lord for that, by the way. But that's what he says. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. This is called a good work ethic. The Bible presents a good work ethic. A good work ethic means the way to get rich is by labor. You work for it. You gather by labor. And if you gather by labor, and if you accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, then your bottom line, your wealth, your financial situation, your retirement, whatever you want to call it, shall increase. Thank the Lord. It's a good work ethic. Labor is designed even before the fall. You know, sometimes we look at, you know, what happened in the garden, but before the fall, this is what the Bible says in Genesis 2:15. This is when God made Adam in a perfect world. Perfect world. You know, some people say, well, if this was a perfect world, we wouldn't have to work. No. In God's economy, in a perfect environment in the garden, look at Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Oh, that was a job? Yeah, he was the gardener. If you've ever gardened, that's not a easy job. It's hard. It's difficult. It's labor, okay? Before the fall. This is not a curse. Labor is not a curse. Sometimes, you know, believers will look at, we understand what the curse is, but sometimes we treat labor as a part of the curse. While labor is hardened, labor is affected by, it's intensified by the curse. In Genesis 3:17, this is what the Bible says, and unto Adam, this is after the curse, the fall, and God is now cursing not only Adam, but the ground, but the environment, but the universe. And God says this about his environment. Unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree. By the way, it's all because of the woman's fault. Isn't that right? Okay, let's just stop right there and say amen and just move on. I just wanted to say that. All right. That's not fair. We need a woman preacher to counter this. But anyway, let's go on. Because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. By the way, I'm just sarcastic there. I'm not serious about it. And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, that means that labor is a whole lot harder. That gardening will be tougher. That blackberry bushes didn't have any thorns. I love blackberries. I don't like going through World War II to get them, you know. But there's no thorns in anything. Can you imagine that? No thorns or no thistles. The ground would yield much, much easier. But that doesn't mean that God didn't intend on man to work to get food. Because that's how he ordained it. Now, yeah, it's tougher. Yeah, it's more difficult. But labor is not a punishment in and of itself. Yes, the curse multiplies the hardships of life, but it's not the origination of labor. That was before the curse. Labor is the divine way for us to live, for us to survive, and us to thrive. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. We could settle so many things in the government if we just paid attention to the Word of God. Amen. Just paid attention. Amen. Every day, well, just about every day, there's a man goes to work, and his job is to sit on that corner with a sign saying, "Please help, I can't work." That's what his job is. I'm sorry, maybe I'm jaded a little bit, but anyway, that's what he does. I was, and it's on that ramp going on to 405. Just the other day, my bike broke down, and I had to wait for Brother Chip to come get me. He with his truck, you know, and that's where I was, just right across from him. And he was there with the sign. I'm, you know, looking at him, and I'm going, oh, you know, hardship. The other day, I was in Tully's. You know, I go there and sometimes I meet folks and whatever. I got the meet the pastor thing on Thursdays, and I'm in Tully's, and I'm sitting there, and through the window as I was talking to somebody, that guy parked his car in the parking lot. Gets out of a nice car and you know, looks like a bum, you know, whatever, and he gets his stuff and his sign and he walks up to his post, and I'm going, I didn't have the time, but I wanted to go and when he got back, take a picture of him, you know, getting in his car, you know, and then make a big thing, and then sit next to him, saying, "This is where he comes from." Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful, folks? I'm telling you what, the people that cheat, the people that get around things, make it harder on real needs. I don't know how to put that, but that's anyway. It's God's way to eat, or God's way to get things, is by labor. If you don't work, then you shouldn't eat. Very simply. No kidding. That would solve so many things, but that's too simple, isn't it? But nonetheless, it's the truth. Sorry, it's the truth. That's where we are. Okay, now, talking about work, it doesn't mean that we can't work smarter. I'm not saying, you know, you just have to, you know, work dumb and, you know, sweat and labor and, you know, just get a little. No, you want to work smart. See, the Bible doesn't say you can't work smarter. Matter of fact, the Bible says work smart. But it says the way to get wealth is by labor. I didn't know this was going to be one of those instructions for our breadwinners here, but this is good. This is good stuff. Believe you me. Pay attention. Open your ears. The Bible does teach us to improve our effectiveness in our careers, to apply wisdom in harvesting the fruit of the earth. Ecclesiastes 10:10, this says, if the iron be blunt, talking about an axe, chopping down a tree or whatever, if the iron of that axe is blunt, is dull, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge or sharpen the edge, if he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, if you sharpen that axe, it'll make your job a lot easier. Listen, the Bible does say work smart. The Bible does say take advantage. The Bible does say, you know, increase yourself and use the ingenuity that you have. It's not saying don't work smart, that you have to, you know, just be slave labor. No. It says be smart in what you do so you don't have to work as much, because that will wisdom will help you. Wisdom, knowledge, and instruction in what you do, it's going to help you. It's going to help you in that way. So, like I say, it's not saying that you can't work smart. If you've ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, then you'll understand the premise of the truth that I'm talking about here. You know, it was an illustration. I don't know that I agree with everything in that book, but the main premise of the book, the guy was raised by his real dad, which was, you know, worked and worked and worked all of his life and died with nothing and poor. And somebody else that kind of took him under the wing, you know, he worked, but he worked smart. And he says, hey, no, that you can use this to your advantage and this to your advantage and this to your advantage. And he was rich. You know, and he said, hey, what's the difference here? And so he, by wisdom, he says, hey, we can work smarter, okay, and basically, you know, apply the principles of investments and whatever. Now, we can develop our labor to be effective. And that's what that's what you're supposed to do. Develop your labor to be the most effective that you can. By the way, the liberal and the political New Guard wants us to fall back into a primitive working of the land for every person. In other words, to not take advantage of advances or technology or whatever, and thus everybody back to like serfdom on the land, hindering progress, turning back the clocks to third world restraints. That's not, and we're not even going there. We're not even going to address that. But let me just go on for this, saying we can learn, we can grow, we can develop, we can use the land for our good and our use. That's what God told man to begin with. When he set man in the garden, this is what he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. On that day, God says, hey, I got a job for you to do. This is what you're to do. And notice his wording back in verse 28. He says, subdue. I've given you creation. You put you in the garden, put you in this planet. Subdue it, meaning be the ruler of it. Make it serve you. Subdue it. Have dominion over, he says, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing. Verse 29, he says, I have given you, this is what I've given you for your management. He's given the earth, and by the way, all of what he's created, the universe, for our management, and he's placed man as the dominion over the physical creation. Isn't that something? And everything that you read, everything that you see nowadays, if it's science fiction or whatever, man is the scourge. Man is the disease. If we can wipe out man, then, you know, everything will live in peace. No. If we wipe out man, then everything else is for naught. That's what God created all of the planet and the universe, the surrounding, for. And he placed man to be in dominion and subdue it, to unlock the secrets of the universe and the laws of nature, and to learn and to grow and have it benefit them, you know. And that's proper. And he says here that, and he's given everything. And by the way, for the PETA folks, let's add Genesis 9:3 after the flood. This is what he says: every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. First he says, okay, I'm, you know, going to be vegetarians. But then here this is what's called progressive revelation. Here in this garden situation it was like this, but then after that it's not like that at all. And now here we're, you know, going over the globe, and he says, okay, this is, pay attention, you can eat meat. And he gives the permission. that every living thing shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. That was before, and now he opens it up. So there's no problem with eating meat, you know. So give me that steak, steak and eggs. Anyway, getting back to our premise here. I'm getting away from it. Sorry, your preacher's kind of like that. My mind goes this way or that way, but, you know, follow, bring it back in. Shortcuts. We're dealing with shortcuts. Going back to just labor. God says labor is ordained by him. It's sanctioned. It's designed. It's designed so that we can get gain, so we can get wealth, so we can amass things, not shortcuts. Be careful about shortcuts. That's what he says. You remember those verses? He that hasteth to be rich. You want to get rich quick. No. God says be careful about that. Because if you want to circumvent labor to gain, boy, you've got a problem there. Say, preacher, what do you have a problem with gambling or the lotto or whatever? I don't even know what they are. I don't know what the scratch things are. I don't know. Never have done that. Never had to do that. Thank the Lord. And, you know, whatever. They say that the lotto is a tax upon stupid people or poor people, we should say. Poor, stupid people. I don't know. Anyway, you know, what do you got against that? These principles right here, folks. He that hasteth to get rich. If you want to circumvent, how are you supposed to gain? How are you supposed to develop? You labor. You know, if just like he said, if you gather by labor, you'll increase. We've got to be careful about shortcuts because God warns us about it. You remember Jesus when he was here on earth. He was tempted, think of this, he was tempted by shortcuts. That is exactly, you remember when he's dealing with Peter and he says, I will build my church, and shortly after that, after he says, Peter, you're on the right track, and he says, I'm going to be given to the Gentiles, going to die, and be buried for 3 days, 3 nights, and I'll come back, rise from the dead. And Peter says, not so, Lord, no, it's not, you know, and Jesus says, get thee behind me. Not Peter. Whose idea was that? Where'd that come from? Satan. Because it was Satan who realizes that the way to glory, the way to resurrection, the way to dominion over all things was in this pathway. And here's Peter just buying into it, saying, no, let's make a shortcut here. How about we just put you on the throne right now? Forget about this dying stuff. No, that was a shortcut. And God said that was diabolical. It was evil. It was wicked. In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tempted Jesus, notice what he said here. In Matthew 4, 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, and he goes into this thing about tempting him about bread and different things, and he's tempting Jesus. And every time Jesus comes back with scripture, he answered verse 4 and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Look down to verse number 8. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I remember I'm talking to an atheist over at Tully's. This was probably about a year or two ago. This guy came, we started developing this relationship. Cynthia, you guys came by that one time and met him. Steve, I think his name, I can't remember his name now. Anyway, here you got a bunch of the kids from Wooden Valley. They came during that time, and he was there, and so we all sat together, we talked a little bit, and he asked some. Really, he's pushing it. He's asking some questions, and I was so proud of our young people. Had great answers, you know, great answers. It was really good, you know. Anyway, so, but I remember him telling me when you know, I was saying, no, I believe the Bible. He says, how could you believe the Bible? And he brought this up, this scripture. He says, okay, he takes him here in a high place, and he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. That's what the Bible says, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. You can't see all the kingdoms of the world from one vantage point. You can't see that which is beyond, you know, the horizon. And it's an impossibility. And I'm going, I had my iPhone, pulled it out, and I said, you mean he saw this and this and this? I mean, I can see that now by technology, and Satan can't show these things by, you know, visions or whatever that, you know. He didn't take them there. He just showed him all these things. He's representing, you know, by, you know, showcasing all of. I'm going, come on. People, they so limit God and, you know, or what can be done in the spiritual realm. Like Satan is a doofus, and he can't show, or he can't present a vision of something. But anyway, so here he is. He's showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. That's what it says in verse number 8. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So here Satan says, all of these are yours. This is what you have to do to get it. You don't have to go through the cross, and you don't have to go through all of that. I mean, listen, that's gonna cost you. That's gonna be painful. That's gonna be awful. I'll just give them to you right now. See, the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. I'm not exactly sure how this goes, but God gave unto him that, you know, that reign. Satan has that. That's he's the one that is the spirit of this world. This age, you know, where he's the one that has that power. He's the one that has that. He could do that. He could actually do that. It wasn't an empty promise. He could give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world right now, today. If you right now just fall down and worship me, you don't have to go through all of that. Now, wait a minute. Was Jesus now there as walking around on ground? He was a human. He's all fully God, but he's fully human. He was a human. Was he going to get all the kingdoms of the world? Is he going to inherit all things? Yeah. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. This is what's going to happen, folks. This is coming shortly. And every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth. Satan also, by the way. And things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Jesus is getting all things, all kingdoms. He's going to have dominion. You know what Satan was after him? How he tempted Christ here? A shortcut. You don't have to go through all that. I'll get it to you now. A shortcut. By the way, that's what temptation is in so many times, so many areas. It's not like many times a temptation is something that's bad, unhelpful, or unhealthy, or harmful. You know, things that you can have, shouldn't have. You know, that's a temptation. But many times, now think of this: many times, temptation is something that we can have. Except just right, not right now. You know, you can have something, whether it be food or wealth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. He says here, you know, hey, wait a minute, this thing about food, did God give foods that we can enjoy? Yeah, the Bible says that. That's one of the things, the doctrine and the word of God, that he's given richly for all men to enjoy things, enjoy, and thank the Lord. He's given us taste buds. I enjoy food. I really do. I'm not a connoisseur cook. I'm a connoisseur eater. I love food, you know, especially good food. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's out of whack and you're going after that, and more than, you know, virtue or honesty or whatever, and then that's what the warning is. And he says, labor not to be rich. It's talking about putting things ahead of things. That's what a temptation is. Temptation is, no, you could get this now, a shortcut right here, right now. How about Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Thank the Lord for that, husbands and wives. Isn't that a blessing? That's what God designed. God designed marriage and the fulfillment of marriage and the satisfaction of those things in marriage. God's designed that marriage is honorable and all. And the bed undefiled. It's pure and it's good and it's designed. And then he goes on to say, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. See, getting it outside of that realm, here's the bounds of this is where it's right, outside of that, or maybe before that. How many young people are tempted to fall in these areas instead of waiting for the proper time where God says it's sanctioned and it's good? No, before that time, it's bad. And that's a temptation. It's not tempting us with something that's bad, it's tempting us with something that's good, except there's a shortcut. And you don't have to do it God's way, just get it, have it now, and so therefore, shortcut, bad. Matter of fact, sin, wickedness. So there's four things about shortcuts and we'll be done. Number one, shortcuts are easy. And that's why they're so tempting, because they're easy. You don't have to do the labor. You know, the wealth gotten, you know, those first verses, he that hasteth to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to have things. I want to have, you know, a big bank account. I want that. But, you know, I'd rather not spend all my life, you know, amassing things. I'd rather just have it now. And so they're easy. They're quick. Shortcuts are quick. Shortcuts are by sight. You know, it's something that I can have, and I can explain it, and I can have it, and it's there before me. But it takes faith to believe God to apply the long way around to get where you need to go. It takes faith and patience to believe God on what he says about fulfillment. Okay, young person, you're not married yet? You know what? You wait for God's place, God's fulfillment in the family area, the romantic, the fulfillment area. You wait for God's best. It's wonderful. It is worth waiting for. But you know what? That takes faith. That takes believing that God said, you know what? You go outside these bounds and you have fulfillment. You get that shortcut, and that's sin, not blessed. It's going to be a problem with you. It's a problem with trust the rest of your life with that person or somebody else. A million things that are, but you know what? Satan will tempt us with something like that because it's a shortcut. But here, now, that's it. Don't want to wait. Yeah, shortcuts are easy and quick, but they're by sight. It takes faith to trust what God says, you know, to his warnings about this. Hey, don't go for the get rich quick. Don't buy into the lotto mentality where outside of work, I'm going to get that. And God says, no. That's going to be attached to something that's wrong or bad. Shortcuts are easy. They're quick. They're by sight. And the last point about shortcuts is they're deceptive. Did you ever take a shortcut and then find out when it's too late that it wasn't a shortcut at all? And you found that it took a whole lot more time to get to where you needed to go because you took the shortcut. Yeah, right. And it's not a shortcut. That's a shortcut. It's not a shortcut. They're deceiving. It's deceptive. How many of us have taken shortcuts to find that they're really not shortcuts at all? In Proverbs 28, verse number 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance. This is building your bank account by lies, by things that are not right, by unjust. When it says unjust, that means not righteous, you know, by taking advantage of people. It says, hey, listen, if you increase your gain, it doesn't matter. Preacher, bottom line, I got a big bank account. Yeah, wait a minute. If you gotten it by the wrong means, look what it says. Finish the verse. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. In other words, he's going to lose it. poetic justice, divine justice. How about that? Let's finish with this passage. I want you to turn here. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5. 1 Timothy 6, 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. These are people that say, hey, as long, bottom line, that's all you worry about, just bottom line. Folks, there are churches that are built upon this, and that is bottom line. You know, if you have a big crowd, you're successful, period. It doesn't matter what you do, who you please, whatever. If you're popular, you're big, you got your bills paid and taken care of because of the strength of, because your gain is godliness. No. 100 times no. Gain is not godliness. Now, if you can have godliness with gain, there you go. Sometimes that's the long way around. It's not the shortcut, for sure. But he goes on, he says, people that are saying gain is godliness, no, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, you don't have to be rich. I don't have to be rich. Now go ahead and make me rich and I'll decide, you know, whether that was better, this is not, you know, that's fine, that's okay, but I don't have to. We don't have to be in luxury to be happy. How many people do you know that have luxury that are not happy? That's sometimes the hardest lesson to learn is those that have spent their life to gain and then they end up in misery. Something's wrong with this picture here. So he says, but godliness with contentment. Now there you go. That's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich. You know what? This means a person that's their goal. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30 or whatever. You know, the goal is rich. The goal is wealthy. The goal is, be careful about that. Folks, be careful about that kind of a mentality. I will be rich. I'm going to make it. Oh, is that the bottom line? The bottom line is riches. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, and folks, it's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love. It's this love affair with luxury, with wealth, with, you know, having something, hastening to be rich. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Hey, get away from that. You know why? Because the shortcut is deceptive. It's deceptive. Those who will be rich and those who love money and that's what their goal is, hey, and God warns us, he warns us, pay attention, don't go there. It's deceptive. It's not a shortcut at all. It's a pathway of grief, sorrow, piercing yourself through with many sorrows. Oh man, what a word picture. Folks, let's pay attention. Let's believe what God says about shortcuts. You know what? And that's true in your spiritual walk. That's true in your family. That's true in your business. That's true in your relationships. No shortcuts. Don't go for the shortcut. Lord, thank you for this warning.